Hello and welcome to another episode of The Single Girl's Guide to Life. I'm Chantelle Dyson, a love and life coach, helping women to make the right decisions for their life, whether that's living alone, going on solo trips, or dating. We are going to be taking a little look at something that you may not have contemplated before, because it is such a default in our lives and in society. However, it is gaining more and more awareness, and it is something that you should have all of the information to be able to make the decision of. Just like I did with the marriage episode, this is not to tell you that this is the right or wrong way to do it. What it is here to do is to make you think and to enable you to have information at the ready that allows you to make a decision. And that is on the idea of monogamy. And I know straight away that's going to almost be a point at which people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to listen to this or not. But it would be interesting to listen so that you can reaffirm if monogamy is solely and truly all that you want, or if this concept around polyamory, which takes various forms, is something that's just worth having in the background, whether it's something that you engage with now, something that comes up later down the line, and where it shouldn't be used as well, where it can be more of a risk to use if you're then later in a relationship at any point. So if we're looking at the idea of challenging monogamy, then we are looking at the idea of polyamory. Polyamory is the umbrella term. If we break down what the word means, it means many loves. You have polygamy in other countries. It's not permitted in the UK and many countries, but in some countries that is completely legal, and that means to have many wives. Now, you might have heard that word more than the word polyandry, where polyandry is the idea of a woman having many husbands. It's less popular, but there are still some countries that do allow for that. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of that today, but the idea of polyamory stems from having multiple relationships at one point in time. And there is a lot of terminology in the polyamorous world that if you're going to delve into it, you want to understand what's fully involved in it, because there are so many different formats of this. So we just heard of polygamy and polyandry. So there are two clear models, one at least of which many people have heard of as a model where you have one person that's married to many people, whether you're thinking of other countries that do that, or if you're just aware of the program Sister Wives, where you might have seen that happening. This is not just in formal terms of being married to someone. It can be open relationships being set by the boundaries of two people that are already together. It might or might not have some sort of hierarchical model, or it can be very open where people are on equal keel and there's not that hierarchy. You can have situations where it's a throuple and everyone interacts with everyone, so there are three relationships in that. You can have people that are hinges, so out of three, it could just be that one member of a couple then sees someone else and that other person doesn't interact with the couple's other part. The partners don't interact, or they do and they really get along as friends, but they never interact more intimately than that. There are lots and lots of ways this develops out. And I mean, I'm scratching the surface with some of those terms there. Now, instantly, you might be feeling overwhelmed, like, I could not share. I could not do this. That's not for me. And that's the kind of reaction you might want to have to verify how you feel. However, one of the ways that those within the polyamorous community deal with this and address this is that they read into some of those feelings as, well, what is it really about that scares me so much? Because often we experience that, like, what if someone came into my relationship? What if they leave? That is a legitimate fear, and that's okay to experience. However, it's not isolated to someone being able to openly sleep with someone. Cheating goes back so far. Infidelity is written in history books. It's one of the topics of many, many serial dramas because it's so common. So just because someone doesn't have permission to do something or an agreement to do something doesn't stop it happening. And this is important to realise, and this is where the polyamorous belief system goes down, from my interpretation, is that, hang on, I don't want to be in a position where I'm trying to control someone because I'm worried about what could happen. And this is where it is worth examining it. If you are of the nature of, you do become excessively controlling even, where you don't like that person going out for the night because they can't be trusted. If you can't trust them and you go, if I let them go out for the night, they might drink too much and they might end up, you know, going back home with someone or getting someone's number. Like, that's going to ruin my relationship. But when you're in a relationship, polyamorous or otherwise, you want your scenario to be that you can trust that other person and that they're free to do what they want. And in a monogamous relationship, you expect and have agreed to say, I'm not going to do anything like that. And people that overstep the boundary in monogamy being that you agreed that you were going to be the only people that you interacted with, is a violation of trust. And the same goes for polyamory. Polyamory, a misconception around it, is that it is permission to cheat, that it's okay to cheat on someone. Now, you can cheat in polyamory because you didn't stick within the agreed boundaries of what your polyamorous situation was going to look like. So for someone, it might have been that they were allowed to hang out with another person, but not actually have sexual interaction. They were allowed to be romantic, they could kiss and they could hug, but there was a boundary of going further than that. And that then becomes cheating. It might be that they needed to be told. It was that they could go as far as sleeping with someone and having sexual interactions, but they needed to be informed before it happened so that they could talk about it, work out when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen or not. And it's all to do with this idea around boundaries. Within monogamy, it's just that it's a given boundary. It is something that most people understand and default to when they say they're in a relationship with someone. It means I won't sleep with anybody else. However, we have these scenarios where it is open relationships, polyamorous scenarios, where there are rules, but those rules have to be discussed and agreed upon. And my observation is it's a fine balance of like, what's a rule? What's an agreement? What's a veto? It can be quite complex. And what I observe and what I really love about the polyamorous community as I've seen it is their levels of communication, the ones that do it well, are sky freaking high. Because you can't just go, this is a polyamorous situation, like monogamy. You can assume what's going to happen. So we're exclusive, right? It's about one of the only conversations you have about that. And then you default to, well, you just don't sleep with other people. But it's an interesting conversation when we start to think about what constitutes cheating. Is talking to another person of the same gender, of the opposite gender, depending on your sexuality, cheating? For some would say yes. Some would say no. Some would say it depends what they're saying. Is it flirtatious? Whereas in polyamory, because it's not a given exactly what polyamory means, you kind of go through and agree on that. You actually talk about it. And it's not just a one point in time thing. It's proactively, because your dynamic has the ability to change at any point, dependent on the scenario, of course, dependent on the agreements. But in most situations, people are entitled to continue dating even if they've got a partner. They can go on dates and keep looking for the potential of other partnerships. And the reason that that's lovely is because it shows that some people are open to the idea that one person can't be everything, and that, for example, it's quite a nice potential opportunity. If you are truly friends that realise that you are probably always more friends than sexual partners, this can be the way to, for example, maintain a dynamic of being nesting partners where you live together. However, you have other people for more in-depth romantic and sexual partnerships. Now, I'm determined to stress that the nesting partner relationship still needs to be baseline good. The other misconception I've observed about polyamory is that it is a saviour to a failing relationship. That when a relationship's going wrong, oh, well, why don't we just open it up? Because we can stay together that way, but maybe you can get the things you need elsewhere from somebody else. I don't always think that that works. For some, it's going to. There'll be plenty of people that do and don't do. I think it depends if you're truly friends with that person or if going towards someone else is going to create distance between you. And it just becomes a slow breakup as opposed to acknowledging what's really going on. And it can compound the feeling of the breakup, because at first you're like, oh, we thought we were everything for one another and now we're not. But then for someone to then switch out and be like, actually, I want to pursue more with this other person, it's heartbreak like any other, but it just delays it and draws it out a lot more. So it's important to realise that it can be used as a way to make sure people's needs are fulfilled, because not one person can be one thing to everybody. There are different forms of love that take that, and to try and get somebody, if you've listened to my episode on Sternberg's Triangular Theory of Love, consummate love is in the middle. It's the mixture of passion, commitment, and intimacy. And it doesn't always stay the same. We can't always get that bit in the middle. Quite often we do fall into what we call companionate love, which is the mixture of intimacy and liking someone and the commitment to someone. But it loses some of its energy, not just passion in the bedroom, but passion for the relationship. Maybe you fall into the idea of being parents and therefore you get distracted. And for some, going to marriage therapy works. For some, couples therapy. But for others, they go, it's just not going to happen with this person anymore. You might just feel differently and want to try those elements. It's something to think about that can work. And if you're open to, but to save something else, I think is the naivety that I've observed. It often draws it out, means that you've got somebody else that's filling the void that was previously there, and you can end up in a really weird situation. All of it, no matter whether it's monogamous or polyamorous, relies on honesty. You can only execute a successful polyamorous relationship when there is honesty at the forefront of it all. Because if you aren't being honest, you're being deceitful.
As mentioned, polyamory can incorrectly be used as an excuse to cheat.
This is where, also in polyamory, that the people involved need to be very aware of their communication and their boundaries. So when someone does overstep the mark and they go on a date that they didn't say they were going on, or they actually slept with someone that they didn't say about beforehand and that was an agreed rule, then it comes down to, wait, why did this happen? What is it that you just did as part of our relationship? I realised that you found someone that you were interested in and wanted to have the opportunity to do that. These are the agreements that we had about how our relationship was going to work. Why did that not fit into the agreements that were made? And suddenly you have this particular relevance to developing how to talk to somebody. Now, you can develop that also in a monogamous relationship. However, it's interesting to observe and listen to polyamorous dynamics, to listen to the way that they converse. Some of the things that I've seen in the community groups that I've listened to, podcasts that I've listened to, is the strength in that communication, even down to ideas of what do you want this relationship to look like? There is the idea of the relationship escalator in polyamorous relationships. It's referred to a lot more than in monogamous relationships. The idea of the relationship escalator, to my understanding, is that it's the classic, you start dating someone, you become committed, whether that's exclusive or not in this scenario. Now that you're committed, you're then going to think about when you're going to move in together. So then you move in together. And then once you move in together, you think about when you're going to get married, because that's the next step. So then you get engaged and then get married. And then once you're married, you think about when you're going to have children. And then you think about that. And that is the relationship escalator. It's the one that we, a lot of us, get on and don't realise is happening. And we've never questioned those parts. We've never questioned those steps. And that's why it's an escalator. It moves on its own. It's not stairs. Stairs, you get a choice about whether you go up, go down. The relationship escalator just keeps moving up, keeps moving. And everyone says you're going to keep going up that relationship escalator. Polyamory, the intent of the relationship, which can change over time, is set out at the beginning. You go in saying what it is you're looking for. That doesn't mean that you can't change your mind, that you might meet someone and go, oh, I really do want to live with this person. I said I thought I wanted to be on my own forever. There's this beautiful concept called solo polyamorists. They have multiple relationships with different people, but they absolutely don't engage with them all together necessarily. They can. They could invite them all around at the same time and all have like a dinner date night, cook for them all. It can be like that and they know one another. Or that person just acts as one and they just have multiple partners, but they live on their own. They maintain their own space. Maybe they never have anyone in their house with them. It is only them ever going to other people. And that allows someone to maintain a level of independence and freedom that they want, boundaries about their own house, yet still have romantic and sexual interactions with other people. This all might sound like, what? I don't know how someone could do this. It's possible, but it isn't for everyone by any means. Think about the time that you would put into one person and then think about having to manage that with two. On the sheer basis of time, I could not do this. On the sheer basis of time. I understand why some people do it. Some people might say that it's the jealousy part. But jealousy, just like the idea of that controlling behaviour, which often comes as a result of jealousy or worry or anxiety, is in all relationships. It doesn't matter if it's monogamous or polyamorous. in polyamorous relationships, you just deal with jealousy on a more regular basis and in a more obvious way, but you can get the reassurance, you can be explained what's happening. But ultimately, if you feel instinctively that it's not right, it doesn't feel right to you, or it's not something that you're willing to do the work on, as some people in polyamory would view it, it's doing work on it. They see it as an insecurity within themselves, because we ultimately can't just be tied to someone always and not be void of worry or jealousy. That is part of the threat of any commitment. And the idea of building trust is that you trust the person not to do it despite temptations around them, innocent temptations that are nothing to do with their behaviour initially. But that's a lot of work. To me, the observation of that is you've got to have a lot of time, and your emotional state can be tested a lot more. And so knowing myself, my instinctive reactions to the idea were very much, it's possibly not the right thing for me, and monogamy is the model that I prioritize. I like to have that reliance. I'm a person that will spend a lot of time with my partners while still maintaining some level of independence, but I like committing to someone. And the idea then that I would detract my attention away from that person for another person, I didn't like that idea. I didn't personally want to be distracted by somebody else. I didn't have any other particular need that I felt required another partner. I have other needs, like wanting to make sure I've got people to talk to about the business, people to talk to about high intellectual problems and the state of the world. But I didn't need another partner to do that with. And not all partnerships that are involved in this are heavily sexual or romantic. You've got the aromantic scale, you've got the asexual scale. We've got lots of different formats here that we can see would play into polyamory because of the different things that people need. So if you're in a relationship with someone asexually because you get along intellectually and practically you want the same things in life, but they don't entertain the idea of wanting to have sexual interactions, that can be the perfect opportunity for someone to still have a relationship with someone that still then have their sexual needs met. The asexual person doesn't have that drive for any sexuality, and they have to decide if they're comfortable with that. So they either date people that are also asexual that don't have that sexual drive, or they date people that have the sexual drive and that may or may not come with a condition that they are able to have sex with other people. And it's all to do with your decisions. I can't say what you're doing is right or wrong. My belief is that as so long as everybody knows what's going on and that it's open, then that's down to you guys. If nobody's getting hurt by the process, then that's okay. It's not for you to judge whether someone should or shouldn't have two partners or not. You might not agree. Anytime that I pose particularly episodes like this, which are what we might call taboo or even controversial, polyamory will not be for everybody. But it is something that when you're establishing your non-negotiables in dating is something to just stress test. And that doesn't mean you have to get yourself into a polyamorous situation to do so. If someone mentions it, you can swipe right and have a conversation and see how it feels. You can inquire and say, so how does it work when you're dealing with a polyamorous situation? Because some people on normal dating apps are there and they will have polyamorous or ENM, ethical non-monogamy, in their profiles. You might not have ever known what that meant. And it's interesting to hear how people do it. And you might go, it gives me a bit of an ick. I just can't do it. And don't feel bad about that. It's not about convincing people to be polyamorous. It is about enabling and allowing the openness to have a conversation around polyamory and to be able to make sure that you are most definitely monogamous. Because if you don't know it's an option to not be monogamous, then you might get yourself in a monogamous situation and find that frustrating. And you may be tempted to cheat and you can't understand why. Now, I'm not excusing cheating. I don't think it's right. But people that cheat must have thought, in many cases, have thought about it before. And in some cases, they will leave a scenario because they do want to engage with another person and they do the right thing in terms of ethics. Some might go, well, people need to learn how to manage their feelings over time. You keep doing that over time. If you happen to be someone that is inherently polyamorous, then you're going to deny yourself of who you really are deep down. And that then manifests in resentment and anger when all you wanted to do was just be who you were. So I'm opening up the space to say and to reiterate what so many other creators out there do, which is educate about polyamory, offer community for people that are polyamorous, and to make sure that you, as someone that might be dating or might in the future, or that might have redone everything in your life, taken everything back to square one and gone, I want to work out exactly what it is that I want. Make sure that you're clear on monogamy and what that means to you. If the idea of not interacting with anybody new once you're in a relationship again freaks you out, then it's worth contemplating. I'm not saying polyamory is the answer, but it's worth contemplating. Or if you're someone that has never been able to find someone that you get on with intellectually so much and sexually, then maybe that's a model to try of having two partners. And it also might allow you to realize that as someone that is single, there are people out there that can have multiple relationships. And some setups are that someone is in a long-term committed relationship and they would love another partner, but it does not have to be long-term and committed. It doesn't go through the relationship escalator. So you might be looking for a romantic experience, sexual experiences now that you can achieve by not getting into a committed or escalating relationship now. There is potential in this world of openness and not just following monogamous, exclusive, committed relationships. There is a whole world out there that tears that down and says, you can make it what you want. And they usually disclaim it with, just please make sure everybody knows the rules and that they've agreed and they know what's going on, that there aren't secrets, that there isn't hidden areas, that it's still open, it's still based on trust, respect, kindness, but something for you to think about if you want. Polyamory is an alternative relationship model and it's becoming more and more mainstream. There are more creators out there talking about it, and it's something that more people are trying out and giving a go. What's the harm? If you really have a bad experience, then, you know, and early on, then get out. Don't force yourself to try something that you're not okay with. Don't force yourself to stay in it because you're like, but it seems like a great idea. I could work on my jealousy. I'm going to be the bigger person by letting someone do what they want to do with their life. Not if it's not right for you. But if the idea of you or a future partner being able to explore all of their different needs and fulfilling them in different ways and in particular ways that you have a great way together, but there's an area that could be improved on or that there's another part to it, then so be it. To me, many of those that do polyamorous successfully have some great qualities. And I have learned in particular about boundaries and communication from the things that I've read, the polyamorous literature and podcasts that I have observed. I'll mention a couple in case you do want to explore it, even just for the skill level and the inner self-work around jealousy and if controlling behavior comes up for you. One book being The Ethical Slut in the polyamorous world is often referred to as one of the ones that you should start with. The Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory by Dedeker Wilson, who is also the host of the polyamorous podcast Multi-Amory, which I have learned so much from. And if this relationship model is of interest to you, I would recommend the app Field. Field is a particular place where there is a lot of openness for so many different things. It is a dating app through and through. Some use it more casually, just like when we have on Tinder, that can be used more casually than say Bumble or Hinge, though there's everyone everywhere. You have to be ready for people being open and honest about what they want, and that will be in their profiles. In some cases it won't be, and you still have to ask, but you can get an idea of sexual preferences, sexualities, and what they want a relationship to look like. And if you want to just dabble to see what that's like, then I recommend that as an app. You have to know your non-negotiables and you shouldn't just take what we've been told as read. You might just instinctively feel it and it's not even something you want to try. That's your decision to make. If you want to try and be open to it, then give it a go. Take one little step towards it and you can always run back if you need to. Or you take one step and maybe you'll take two, three, four. For those that are thinking, I can't do that, it's not right. It's right if it's right for you and the people involved all know. Until next time, everybody, keep celebrating single life together.